What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be dissecting more of the NBA draft. If you didn't catch my previous two episodes, I talked about Trey Johnson in length. I talked about number 21 pick Will Riley at length. And I also, in my previous episode, touched a bit on number 43 overall pick Jameer Watkins. And so while I was able to talk about a guy in Watkins that I really liked on both ends of the floor, I figured it would be better with all the questions I've been getting about him to bring on somebody who really knows Jameer, that covered Jameer all season long. So who better than my friend Sam Stevens, who covered Watkins and FSU hoops for War Chant, knows FSU basketball, followed along with Watkins all season. So I'm going to bring Sam on and kind of break Watkins's full game down. So thanks for joining me today, Sam.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to get started.
For sure, yeah. I want to kind of throw you, I guess, a bit of a softball question, a bit of a lob first. I talked about how Watkins averaged 18 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists this season. Racked up steals and blocks. Was a guy that could pick up 94 feet. What are the Wizards getting in Jameer Watkins?
So, I mean, you said a lot of it right there. The system that FSU ran, you guard 94 feet as soon as the ball is inbounded. And I think a lot of, like, we saw it in the finals, how Andrew Nembhard is picking up 94 feet the entire game. I'm not saying he's Andrew Nembhard, but you're getting somebody that has the ability to guard positions 1 through 4 extremely well, because last season, he had a career high steal percentage of 3.8, and that was like 49th nationally. So he's got the ability to pick pockets. I think his wingspan came in at 6'11" for the combine. And so you're just getting a pest on defense. And that's where his strength comes into play. And he's going to be a lot of fun to watch there. His offensive game, he can drive to the hoop like a maniac. He gets fouls, even though I know on the Twitter, everybody talks about free throw merchants, with SGA bringing home the MVP. But Jameer gets to the line more than almost anybody else in the entire country, or at least he did last season. He averaged 7.7 free throws a game, which was ninth most nationally and first in the ACC. So you've got a guy that can create points, whether it's getting to the hoop, shooting the mid-range, getting the free throw line. But his one place he really, really can improve is his consistency behind the three-point line. He's pretty streaky, I would say. I mean, there was a stretch where he shot 50%, and the next game he came out and shot 25% from deep. But he could turn out to be your prototypical 3-and-D kind of guy for the Wizards.
Yeah, certainly. And I was going to touch on the free throws later in the episode, but you mentioned it, so I'm just going to go to that and jump to that now. You mentioned the 7.7, nearly 8 free throw attempts per game for a guy that measured at 6'5 at the combine without shoes is 215. So he's not the biggest guy, he's not the tallest guy, and yet he's still able to get to the line. What impressed me most when I was, scouting him in the pre-draft process was the games of 23, 17, and 22 free throw attempts for a player of his size. He had a stretch during the season where he had 40 free throw attempts across a 2-game stretch. It really impressed me, his ability to draw contact to get to the line, shot it at 72% from the line. What is it about that ability to get to the line that separates him from some other guys that maybe struggle in that area?
He's just got I'd say he's got a fantastic first step, because I wouldn't say that he's a player that has the deepest bag, but if he gets the ball and he goes north south, you're not his he's so broad and quick with the ball that you're not going to move him off of his spot, and you're going to be end up swiping and reaching while he's going up. But he's got the strength to go up and create contact in the air too and still finish. But yeah, I mean, some of the games, watching them, the amount of times that he'd go to the free throw line, it was like, all right, here we go again. And honestly, that wasn't even something that happened a lot last year. I mean, he got to the line fair share, or his junior season. But then this season, people just couldn't stop fouling him. But I think he has just a tenacity going to the rim. And instead of, kind of leaning away from contact, he's the kind of person that's going to drive his shoulder in and go up with contact. But yeah, the free throws are a really impressive part of his game.
Yeah, certainly. Just the ability to draw that contact. It's a skill now that you see in the league. You mentioned SGA earlier, and people call him a foul merchant. but he knows when guys are about to reach. He knows certain guys' tendencies, and he knows how to capitalize on it. It's a real skill in today's league. You know, James Harden was kind of the guy that started it all. And so to be able to come into the league as a guy that averaged 8 free throws a game in the ACC, hopefully that's a skill set that translates. Now, you also mentioned earlier the streaky shooting at times. I think one of the biggest concerns I've seen from Wizards fans is the outside shooting. You know, 32% from three his senior year. It's nothing to be concerned about, but it's also nothing to, you know, write home about. It's not like he's shooting the lights out. And certainly the previous two seasons, he shot it at 34%, so a slight dip from what he had been shooting from three. But 32% from Watkins on five attempts per game, so it's a decent volume. I like the clip that he shoots the ball. He's obviously a willing shooter. Are the concerns from Wizards fans valid that he might not be able to be a guy that defenses respect, a guy that can stretch the floor and space the floor on offense, or are you more so buying that he can develop that shot in the league?
At this point in time, I'd say that, you know, there is some validity to the skepticism, but I believe that he can be the kind of person to develop that three-point shot, because a lot of the season last year, he went from 96 three-point attempts in his junior season to 165 this past season, his senior year. Like you said, five threes a game. And he had heard from the combine last year that he needed to improve his three-point shooting. And I think he took it upon himself this year to take more threes, which would lead to not the best shot selection from him, because he was trying to get that game film in. He was trying to show these NBA teams that he can shoot. But when he spots up on either wing or even top of the key and he takes his time, he's hitting it most of the time. And, you know, I think in the NBA, he's going to be much more of an off guard than bringing the ball up. And he does have the ability to play off the ball. And I think, you know, he would greatly benefit from a three-point shooting standpoint if he could be that off-guard, off-ball kind of guy to just spot up and shoot. So I think he's got the chance to develop, but it just depends on what kind of role that the Wizards put him into.
Yeah, I'm glad you just talked about role, because that sort of segues into the other thing that I want to talk about is role. Because a lot of you know, what the Wizards draft philosophy has been is just drafting talent. You know, this is a team that clearly needs some front court help, and they decided to take three guards slash wings in the draft when there were, you know, talented big men, you know, available at each phase of the draft, at 6, at 21, at 43, certainly. And they decided to go this direction. While a lot of it is just acquiring talent, a lot of it is fit. A lot of it is how you project this guy to play in your system. What role do you think he can play? So you mentioned, you know, the ideal role for a guy like Watkins to thrive. What do you project his role to be in the league? Do you think he'll be a 3-and-D player? Do you think he'll mainly just be a defensive stopper that maybe doesn't provide much on offense but makes up for it with his defense? Do you think he could ever be the 18-point-per-game scorer he was in college? Like, what do you think his realistic pathway or realistic role will be on a team like Washington?
I think there's a lot of different possibilities for Jameer Watkins. I think that, you know, there is the possibility that he becomes a true defensive stopper in the league, and maybe his offense, he doesn't give you very many a game. But I think at his ceiling, he has the chance to be a perfect 3-and-D player. You said 6'5 without shoes, 215. He's not going to get bullied on the perimeter by other guards. He's going to have the ability to drive to the hoop. And that driving ability, hopefully, is going to give him the opportunities to shoot those open spot-up threes, because other guards are going to have to respect it. I think, you know, going into this season, the Wizards, like, you know, they've kind of struggled in recent years with, you know, skill and depth and roster build. But I think, you know, you guys just got Malcolm Brogdon as your point guard now. And I think, you know, if you've got Jameer next to Brogdon, I think Jameer can learn a lot in playmaking and fit for that. So I think he could be pretty beneficial.
Well, Brogdon, for Wizards fans, Brogdon's a free agent. So again, they could bring him back. But the fact that the Wizards acquired a guy like Marcus Smart, Brogdon could be walking a free agency. The Wizards have a couple other free agents that they could let walk as well. So certainly if you mentioned a veteran like Brogdon, if they let Brogdon walk, they allow Smart to play alongside him. It's possible that Watkins can learn a lot from a guy like Marcus Smart, a guard that was able to win Defensive Player of the Year, one of the better guards in the league. Obviously if you have Watkins lining up alongside Bub, that makes it for, an offensive-minded, guard and maybe an off-ball wing slash guard to play alongside him that's a defensive stopper as well. So I really like the way that Watkins might be able to complement some of the other offensive-minded players. Certainly drafting Will Riley and Trey Johnson, they're very, very much offensive-minded players. And then bringing in another guy like Watkins, who's very defensive-minded, like you mentioned, can pick up 40 or 94 feet. That's a really good add at the number 43 pick. In terms of his progression as well, he's a guy that every step of the way was able to improve, especially on the offensive end. Averaged just 7 points per game his freshman year at VCU, went up to 9.5 his I guess technically his sophomore year. He sat out a full year due to injury, but 9.5 points his second year at VCU. And then he transfers to Florida State, 15.6 points per game his junior year. And then his senior year, he's taken three more shots per game, averages 18 points. So there's a clear pathway of progression, and that's something I also like to track with some of these draft picks is, are they getting better at every step of their college career? And it's harder for these one and dones, right? Because you don't necessarily see the year by year progression. But for, a fifth year guy like Watkins to steadily improve on the offensive end every year that he's in school, obviously on the defensive end as well with that steal rate, that's certainly something that I look for to see, is this a guy that's putting in the work? Is this a guy that clearly wants to get better and shows the ability to get better? And so the progression that I saw on that offensive end was certainly good from Watkins. What did you personally see from Watkins? Like looking at your first impression of him the first time you saw him play until, the final game of his senior year, what was something that impressed you that, okay, this wasn't that great when I saw him at first, and now he clearly put in the work to improve it.
I think his confidence as a leader, kind of, he really, that senior year, he really got into that role and understood that, okay, this is my team. I have the keys to this team, and they're going to go as far as I can help them go. So at first, I think he was a great scorer in his junior season, the first year at Florida State. He was a great scorer, good defender, could steal the ball, but there are some leadership issues. Even with that whole, honestly, that whole 23-24 team, there's a lot of leadership issues in that locker room. But that next season, his senior season, he really got the locker room together and there was a bigger understanding of his role as a leader. And I think that, some people can see his age coming into the NBA. He's older for a rookie. But I think we've seen, even in college, you have these young guys that are the one and dones. But they can't keep up physically with these 5-year guys, the guys playing in their 6th year. So I think his experience in a leadership role, in his maturity in basketball, and his physicality, I think that's going to translate very well to the NBA and especially a Wizards team that is certainly looking for some identity, I would say.
Well said. I think a lot of it as well is that leadership, but it's also the fact that he was, a fifth year guy, spent a while in college. You don't see that a lot, right? You don't see these guys, that are going through, well, obviously you see a lot of transfers, right? And he did transfer, but you don't see them sticking around as much as he did. And like you mentioned, he was gonna declare for the draft. He went through the pre-draft process last year. And I guess what he heard was, you have what it takes to make the league, but you'd benefit from another year of working on these things. And he clearly did. He got better in a lot of different areas. Like you mentioned, leadership as well, coming, as a veteran on that team. And now he gets to go to the league the following year, having, improved all of that stuff, gets drafted number 43. He's going to be 24 on July 6th. So one of the older prospects in this draft, certainly. A diversion of the way the Wizards have drafted in the past couple of years, taking really young players, a couple 18-year-olds, mainly 18 and 19-year-olds that they're drafting. And so to see them come out and basically take a 24-year-old, that shows me that they clearly like what he has and the fact that they're willing to say, you know what, he's probably about 4 years older than the player that we would probably target. But we just can't pass on, I guess, the defensive acumen of Watkins, the possibility that he can be another 3-and-D wing for a team like the Wizards. So I certainly think that leadership that you mentioned is something that I enjoyed personally from watching his progression. And the fact that he's an older prospect and the Wizards still decided to take him, that kind of shows to me that they were pretty high on him during the pre-draft process. What I want to get into is sort of the highs of Watkins this year. You know, as a guy that watched a lot of FSU hoops, watched a lot of Watkins, was there a specific moment, a specific game, a specific play where you kind of sat back and said, okay, like this guy might be special, this guy might be going to the league? Because there's certainly some games that pop on the Watkins, you know, performance tracker this year. He had 30 points in just game two of the season against Rice on 7 of 14 from the field, hit a couple of threes, 29 points, and this is probably the one that stuck out the most to me. 29 points on 19 of 23 from the free throw line against Tulane. He had 26 points against a tough UNC team. Like, was there a specific game or moment or play from Watkins this year that stuck out to you and told you that he was a special player?
Well, honestly, my personal favorite game out of him, even though it did end up in a loss, it was the game against Florida when they came to Tallahassee. Because, you know, you like to measure a player by how he plays against the best. And Florida won the national championship, and their defense was stellar. Florida had a great defense and a better offense. But Jameer, he had 19 points in that game. He shot the ball well, 58% from the floor. He had an off game from the free throw line. He was 5 for 11, which was, I remember sitting there watching. I was like, okay, like what's going on? But it's just because FSU was down for most of that game, and Watkins had been in, he hadn't been on the floor. He was in some foul trouble. But then the second half, he comes back in. He didn't start in the second half because of foul trouble, but he comes in, and FSU goes on this run. And they cut the lead to 3. It was 77 to 74, I remember. And just that game stood out to me because I was like, okay, you're seeing his leadership on display after he had sat out for a large portion of that game due to foul trouble. And he comes in and he immediately makes an impact on the game against the eventual national champion. And something else, you know, you talked about the highs. His highest highs honestly came when he was scoring, because he feeds off of that. Okay, I got a bucket, let me go get another one. Okay, I got another one, and he gets into the flow state. But if he's not shooting that well, he's kind of, you know, he kind of struggles to find his way. But his highest highs come from when he's scoring early, and he did in that game.
And does that you mentioned, you know, him scoring kind of unlocks some of his offensive confidence. Does that also translate to the defensive end, where if he's, you know, getting it going on offense and he's scoring, you know, some buckets, is he more engaged on defense, or is the defense there regardless? Is he always going to give you that effort on defense regardless of if his shot is falling?
He was coached by Leonard Hamilton, and so he was always going to give you some effort on defense, or he'd be sitting on the sideline next to coach. But there is some truth to when he was scoring. There was definitely more effort being put on display. But the whole team this year, when they were scoring, because there were some points of the season where it was quite hard for them to get points. But when people were scoring, especially Jameer, you could feel the defensive buzz. Just a lot more on the defensive end. But even when Jameer isn't scoring, you can always count on him to be that steady defender, to be that guy that's going to get a stop. But there is some truth to when he is scoring, there is more effort being put on defense. But I'm sure you could say that for a lot of NBA basketball players.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to stuff like that, obviously, like, even when it's human nature, when you're playing basketball and you got it going on offense, you see it going through the hoop, then you start to clap on defense, then you start to be more engaged. But I'm glad that most of the time, right, like you mentioned, most of the time the defense is still going to be there, the effort's still going to be there. You mentioned, you know, playing for a guy like Leonard Hamilton, it has to be there if you want to be on the court. So certainly,
Exactly.
I do like that he came from that tree. You know, FSU produced a lot of really good defenders. Obviously, he had high picks with Patrick Williams a couple years ago. You know, another high pick with Scotty Barnes a couple years ago. So certainly, really good defenders tend to come from the Leonard Hamilton tree, and I think Watkins could be another one that comes from that. I asked you some real like serious, more serious questions about his game. I want to talk about player comps because I think that people, especially draft evaluators, can go a lot of ways. They can go really good when it comes to comps, and they can be completely off the rails, wild when it comes to player comps. The one that I've seen the most circulating Twitter from Watkins is Lu Dort, who just won the finals with OKC. Similar build, right? Without shoes, Lu Dort is 6'4", 220. Watkins, 6'5", 215. So they're bigger. And I don't think Doc or Watkins is as strong as Dort has become.
No.
But he is still a physical defender. He's still stronger than a lot of guards that he tends to be defending. They are similar size as well without shoes. Does that comp make sense to you? And if so, great. If not, is there another comp, I guess, that you could offer that more so would fit Watkins' game?
That actually, I was thinking about players when you said it,
Okay.
but Lu Dort is pretty, that's pretty perfect, I would say. It's just Lu Dort would be, that's Jahmyr Watkins. He comes in, he really works on his 3-point game, and he becomes much more efficient from behind the arc. But Lu Dort, like, he's got SGA taking the ball up, like we talked about earlier. Lu Dort is in that off-ball, off-guard spot on the Thunder for the catch and shoot threes, and he's a very versatile defender. I think Jahmyr will be at his best if he's in a very similar situation and a very similar role where he's that defender, but he has the opportunity to play off ball and get some catch and shoot opportunities in game. So I think that's pretty accurate. Another, it's kind of, I don't know why this just popped into my head, but an Eric Bledsoe, kind of, a bigger, thicker guard that's going to get to the hoop at will, maybe not the best at shooting a three. But I thought of that, but I think I like Lu Dort a little more. But I don't know why. Eric Bledsoe is just the first person that popped in my
I like
head.
that. No, I like that. And Bledsoe was always a bigger guard,
Right.
especially at the end of his career when he couldn't necessarily rely on that speed and that burst. He kind of relied on his strength and physicality. And so I certainly think that Watkins could be. I didn't think of Bledsoe. I like that. But I'm glad you agree with the Lu Dort one because the first time I heard it, I was like, I don't know. Like, Lu Dort's a big dude. But then I watched Watkins play and I watched the physicality he played with on defense. The IQ he has he knows when to reach, he knows when not to reach. He knows, certain things on the defensive end that most people at his age just don't. And that's kind of what I thought separated him from some of the other guys I had projected in that range was just the smarts on defense, something that I think Lu Dort has, especially the similar builds. So I think that makes sense. I do like the Bledsoe comp. But yeah, comps can kind of go all over the place. It seems like the Wizards fans and you obviously have kind of landed on Lu Dort isn't the craziest comp, and certainly you need Lu Dorts on teams. Like the Thunder could lose game five to Denver in the second round this year without Lu Dort going on that 3-point stretch where he knocks down three threes to start the fourth. He was certainly huge in the finals, defending multiple positions. So it's pretty clear that Watkins could be someone like that. I'm sure that's what the Wizards project him to be, is somebody that really cares on the defensive end and ideally is able to develop that 3-point shot. Because Lu Dort was a guy in his first year when the Thunder made the playoffs in the bubble. The Rockets weren't even contesting his 3-point shot. And now he's developed into someone who's always going to give you good defense and has a pretty respectable 3-point jumper. And so, like you mentioned, hopefully Watkins can kind of develop into a similar role, and obviously you're developing a 3-point shot is big in terms of that. We're going to kind of wind down here, but I want to give you one last opportunity to kind of, give Wizards fans, something to take away from Watkins. What's one thing that Wizards fans should be excited about? One trait that they're getting in Watkins, especially that you might be able to see early on in his career.
A high energy, high effort player that will probably posterize somebody in his rookie season given the opportunity. But he is a lot of fun to watch when he's on. And he's not super flashy. Like I said earlier, he doesn't have the best dribble moves. But the way that he gets to the hoop and the kind of finishes that you will see, it's just he's an exciting paint player and he brings some juice on the court. And I think you're going to see a lot more fast breaks with if he's on the court because he's from the Florida State system and it's go, 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 go. So I think there's going to be a lot of there's high energy there. He's got high motor, and I think there's going to be some flashy dunks that you'll be able to see this season.
Well, there you have it. You mentioned the go-go-go of Florida State. The Wizards ranked fourth in pace last year. Like, they like to run in transition as well. So hopefully we'll see some high-flying dunks. Like Sam mentioned, maybe a poster here and there from Watkins. But it seems like he's going to bring the energy. He's going to bring the juice. He's going to definitely bring it on the defensive end. And hopefully that translates to the offensive end. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. I certainly enjoyed Sam coming on and breaking down Jahmyr Watkins, a player that Wizards fans have just been introduced to, I'm sure, or are watching a lot of the tape. But Sam came on here, and if you watch this episode, you're going to come away knowing a lot more about Washington's number 43 pick. So again, thank you, Sam, for coming on. Where can everybody find your stuff?
So on Twitter, I have to look at my tag. I don't even remember. I think I'm at Sam_Stevens15 on Twitter. If you want to, you can stop by. I've got a sports blog called The Steven Scoop. If there's plenty of stuff that mentions Jahmyr Watkins on there. So if you want to read some more up on Jahmyr, feel free to take a look. It's all there, but had a lot of fun and I appreciate, you having me on this podcast.
Yeah, of course. I mean, certainly during the pre-draft process, I can tell you firsthand, I read Sam's stuff. And if you want to know about Watkins, that's the place to go. Certainly a lot of good stuff there on his Twitter as well. So be sure to give him some love, show him some support, give him a follow. But again, that's going to wrap it up for this episode, breaking down Jahmyr Watkins. I'll be back later in the week with my guy, I think Matt Bodorno, to break down the full NBA draft of the Wizards, the full scope of it, and kind of look forward into the offseason, projecting the Wizards roster, summer league roster, cap space, some potential signings to shore up that front court. So be on the lookout for that. But again, thank you so much, Sam, for coming on. Be sure to follow him on Twitter. And that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thanks for listening. Go Wiz.